Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house. It's Wednesdays with Wiggy. And always Wednesday at this time, we talk with Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you. How are you?
Terrific.
So on social media earlier today, Antonio Brown, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's fairly close to an exact quote, said basically, if you follow the Patriots, tell them that they've got to pay me anyway. They might as well let me earn it. What are the chances of an Antonio Brown New England Patriots reunion?
I would say less than a snowball's chance in hell, wouldn't you? I mean, it didn't go so hot the first time, so it's almost a non-starter. It's cotton candy. It's the same thing as, you know, Wiggy talking about Gronk coming back.
I like it's cotton candy.
Happening.
Gronk might come back. Let's not close the door on that one.
Well, some of us are. Some of us have.
Oh, okay.
Some of us
know,
have. But that's okay. Keep the dream going. Right. That's fine. Tom, you seem in a better mood today. You don't seem as angry.
Well, you haven't gone off half-cocked yet, so we'll see how it goes.
I'm just curious. Now, people may have missed it last night. I made the claim that Tom Brady's comments from the press conference yesterday sort of pointed to the fact that Ryan Izzo and Matt LaCoste are not even really worthy of a roster spot. That was sort of what I leapt to, and you strongly disagreed with that.
No, I didn't. I read what you were saying as a great fatigue with Tom Brady's airing his feelings, whether it's even in passive-aggressive mode or directly, and I maybe misinterpreted that.
Got it.
But I thought that he was being pretty candid for him.
He was.
For a team that is just buttoned down and locked down and businesslike and doesn't intimate anything untoward, I think that Brady has continued to throughout this 2019 season since August, really, in Tennessee, when he talked about, you know, boy, these guys have a long way to go, need some experienced guys. He said on the Greg Hill show this time, he basically said, what now? Who now is developing? So he's very direct about it. I don't disagree with you.
Okay. Would you like to apologize?
It's an ongoing situation. I don't think it's isolated to this, and I don't think it has to do with Antonio Brown, really. I think it predates the whole thing.
Would you like to apologize for shouting at me on television?
No. Okay. I mean, that's the kind of content that, to use the much overused phrase at our place, that's what we do!
Now, so, do you think, I know it's impossible to know the answer to this, you know, only Tom Brady knows for sure, but do you think he really thought Benjamin Watson would be a big upgrade on the field? Because my guess is if he was going to be a big upgrade on the field, Bill Belichick would keep him. Salary cap be damned, they'd figure that all out later if they're trying to add somebody. But if they really thought he was a better player than these other two guys, wouldn't he still be here?
I have a hard time thinking that they don't realize that he's a better player.
Okay.
I mean, he caught 65 passes 2 years ago. He had 31 on limited duty last year. He would walk out and be their best tight end right away. Whether the Patriots think that having a 38-year-old guy who might somehow, you know, retard the development of two other guys who are still with the arrow pointing up is probably where they are. And I think Belichick's statement indicates that. That's the ongoing thing that a team has to balance, the ongoing dilemma a team has to balance all the time. I mean, Tom Brady is going to be better than Jimmy Garoppolo this year, next year, probably the year after that. Will he be better than Jimmy Garoppolo when Tom Brady's 47 and Garoppolo's 32? Probably not.
Right.
So that's where these teams all have to make the decision. Watson's better now than those other two guys. He would help this offense more against the Giants than those other two guys. But those other two guys need to be developed. It's ageism.
Now we saw the AB Instagram post and the investigation. Dale and I have kind of been trying to figure out why it's taken so long. At least I'm trying to figure out why it's taken so long. Do you think that the length of this investigation, of them not even interviewing him, is a reason that why teams have might not have signed them?
100%. And I think it is a there is no right to a fair and speedy trial in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And the ability of the league, perhaps at the owner's behest, to say to Roger Goodell, make sure your investigative arm does what it usually does and doesn't really do a great job with this. We don't need this guy in the league at this point, hijacking our 100th season. So since every team in the league has to wonder, if I sign this guy, then they kick in the investigation, then he's suspended. So do I want to get into that? I believe it's almost he's been put on ice.
Right. So you think there's some shady things going on, because if this was a regular guy who maybe didn't have the baggage he had, he would have already been interviewed and maybe we might be getting a result on what the NFL had found out.
Yeah. If the NFL wanted to make sure that he was getting treated fairly, they would have gone through this a hell of a lot quicker so that some team could know whether or not we want to sign him to make us better. Mm-hmm. If he's been cleared, it is beyond doubt, as far as I'm concerned. If the NFL wanted to, they could get it done quick. Owners don't want them in the league, and even if it's a small group of them, mm-hmm. I believe it's a collusion type of situation,
right,
that would be hard to prove, but as long as the league doesn't investigate them, no one's going to touch them.
We're talking to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. The Patriots' defense is putting up historic numbers. I mean, it's mind-boggling when you look at all the different numbers and the different things. Opposing offenses on third down are 8 for 63 this year. How much of these historic defensive numbers do we temper based on the inadequacies of the opposition that they faced?
We'll only know that when they go against a good offense. And I don't know what qualifies as
that. And that's not tomorrow, right?
No.
No, it's not going to be. Barkley and Ingram and Sterling Shepard, as you guys I'm sure have reported, mm-hmm. are all downgraded to out. So it's Daniel Jones, Willie Tallman, and who the hell's the receiver out there?
They got Golden Tate,
Golden Tate.
Oh, and Latimer and Golden Tate.
Yeah.
And Nate Solder. So, and John Jalapio.
Look at this breakdown. Jeez.
So, I understand what we're talking about. If you look at who the Ravens played in 2000, they opened up with Kent Graham. In the third game, they got Mark Brunell, and they let up 35. That team, if you scrutinize their competition, including Kerry Collins and the Giants in the Super Bowl, look, history is not going to look back and say, oh, wait a minute, these guys played Luke Falk in week 3, any more than we generally do that with the 72 Dolphins, who people still parade around and say is the best team of all time, despite their embarrassing level of competition. So historic, not historic, I don't think they're the 78 Steelers chocked full of Hall of Fame players, but for what they're doing right now in this age that's tipped towards offense, I think it's remarkable.
Going back to Brady, obviously we do make so much of what he says, and I feel like he's just going to be continued to ask about the receivers outside of, you know, a performance where they go out there and just really light up the scoreboard. Is this one of those things that he's just going to have a difficult time dealing with, because the defense is clearly the better side of the football right now? They're probably they probably could win a lot of games even with worse offensive performances they've gotten. But through 5 weeks, Tom Brady seems as frustrated as ever, especially for a team that's 5-0. Like Dale and I, we point out how, you know, fans are critical, but I feel like Brady might even be more critical of the offense than even fans are right now.
Yeah, and I think that the notion that Brady is, and I've heard this espoused on talk radio throughout the city, that Brady's mad that the defense is better, or that Brady is jealous, or any of those. No, it's just the matter of a person who's a perfectionist who wants to excel at what he's doing. When you go to work and what you did wasn't really that great, and everybody has to pat you on the back and say, that's okay, you'll get him next time. You don't sit there and say, yeah, you're right, I'll just keep plugging away. I mean, he's seen good offense. He's been a part of good offense. They're not playing good offense now. So when you leave the field and you stand there and look at what you're going to try and do next week, it's defeating regardless of what the record is. And he knows that whether it's Carson Wentz or Dak Prescott or Pat Mahomes at some point there's going to be a quarterback who's going to put up numbers on the Patriots' defense, and Brady will be charged, and Josh McDaniels will be charged with keeping pace.
Now, when you look at this, we talk about this Patriots passing game. How important is that they bring somebody in to help the passing game, whether it's a wide receiver, tight end, really doesn't matter at this point. And is it doing a disservice to this Patriots offense as well as this defense because of what they might be able to do if you add one more piece to that passing game?
I don't know if they have enough in-house. I don't think that they feel they do. Otherwise, they wouldn't have taken the risk that they did and the financial risk, which they're still going to pay for in the form of dead money on their cap, and Antonio Brown. So they already felt that way. So my suspicion is that they will still try and figure something out. I think these are things better done in advance at the draft at the tight end position over the last 3 years. But they didn't do it that way. And they won a Super Bowl, and they've been to three in a row, and they may go to another this year. So all of that stuff, Wiggy, yeah, I think they're going to make a move, and they have to make a move offensively. But again, the way this defense is playing, and as Rich and Dale pointed out, they could play worse on offense and still win. So
yeah, but doesn't it do a disservice to the defense if they have one of those games where, you know, they hold a team to, let's say, 16 points, which is really good, but offensively you're only able to score 10 or 14, yeah, and you lose a game?
I mean, yeah, but you've played in the NFL, and you know better than me that, you know, the needle goes back and forth. And since 2007, it's been an offensive juggernaut. 2011, that team couldn't stop anybody, and they still went to the Super Bowl and lost because, well, they couldn't stop anybody, and they lose to the Giants in that game. But I think that for so long, nobody talked about, or it was a fact of life that Tom Brady and the offense is going to take the Patriots as far as it will. Now it's a fact of life in 2019, and I think that Bill Belichick, at least, is okay with that. And at some point, they're either going to improve offensively. I don't think they're going to drastically improve. So Tom Brady's going to have to get his head around it.
How much less than 100% are both Julian Edelman and Josh Gordon?
It looks like Gordon is limping to me. I think that Edelman is mobile. It's, you know, it only hurts when he laughs. I mean, for him to go out and have 8 catches for 110 yards, flip ass over tea kettle, land on the football, and still perform, he might be less than 100% to sit on the couch and watch TV. It might hurt, but it's not preventing him from performing his duties the way he does, which is bizarre. I don't know with Gordon. I wonder sometimes if over the 16 games we've now seen of Josh Gordon, 11 last year, 5 this year, if, and I was saying this to Rich, I think on TV last night, he's just Josh Gordon now. You know,
yeah,
50th best receiver in the league. Useful, strong, good when you get him the ball, but there's limitations there that people have to realize exist now that he's not the guy from 2013 anymore.
How long do you think Mike Nugent's going to be around?
They brought a guy in yesterday.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
I mean, just look, Wolf, you know what? Tomorrow night's going to be a great test. Have you guys seen the weather?
No,
it's supposed
to
rain.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah,
here we go. Get him out there. Get him kicking a little bit. Let's see it.
Historic levels of rainfall in the southeast.
Could
be
boy.
4 to 6 inches in southeastern Massachusetts and the Cape. Foxborough being close enough. And 70-mile-an-hour offshore winds, you know, could be in the 40s and 50s onshore. So get your under bets in right now.
Oh, Nugent. Oh, no. Going to be a tough night for
Nugent.
Him.
Nugent.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at this Patriots team and you look at the rest of the AFC, is it still just a two-horse race and the Patriots in Kansas City? Or is there another team? I know you had the Buffalo Bills in your power rankings, but do things change, or where are you with all that?
I think that you don't want to get ridiculous about the Colts win over Kansas City the other night, even though it was in Kansas City, because the week before they lost to the Raiders at home.
Right. Yeah.
So these teams are so schizo. I will look at the fact that, you know, the Texans have quite possibly the best quarterback aside from Mahomes and Brady in Deshaun Watson. That's a talented team, too. It should be better than its record. The Bills might have the best defense outside of the Patriots defense, and the Colts, they're just effective as hell. So those five teams are all in the mix together. I think the Patriots stand apart because of what they're doing. But again, you know, even if the Patriots had played like the Chargers or the Raiders.
Oh, we just lost him.
Wow.
Awesome.
I couldn't take it anymore.
Mid-go, you said no? You hung up on him? That's your new thing? I don't know what happened. We just lost connection with Tom Curran. He was rattling off.
Figure out his power rankings.
Yeah. No, but it is. I think he was getting into, too. It is just amazing, the Patriots' schedule. Again, it's nobody's fault. It's just how it laid out. But not only has it been bad teams, but those bad teams have also been hurt, as example by tomorrow. You're not even going to face the best player on the Giants.
But you are going to face good teams. Like,
you are, but just not for a while.
But, you can't control
But we're talking right now, and it's like, man, bad teams. It's going to be six bad teams. Going to be seven bad teams.
But you know the problem.
Looking like eight.
But you know what the problem is sometimes is when people talk about this Patriots schedule is they make it seem like they're not going to face any good teams at any point in time.
Yeah, that part's wrong, because they will.
Yeah, you know, hey, they've been fortunate that a lot of the bad teams that they've been playing have been in the first, you know, four, five, 6 weeks,
that's
7 weeks
of
the season. But they're going to get to a stretch where they're going to face some talented teams. Now, fortunately for them, by the time they face those teams, it's generally the Patriots are playing well, because it's usually the end of the season. They kind of find out who they are. They've kind of been able to figure out what's their identity, both offensively and defensively. So like it works out good for them.
If you don't think Cleveland is a tough challenge, and the way they've played, or the way they just played on Monday, it doesn't look like they are. But I think Tom's right. There's a lot of AFC teams which are kind of schizo. Like you could see Indianapolis 1 week, they look great. Then the next week, you're like, oh my God. And same Cleveland, they beat up on Baltimore, and then they get absolutely embarrassed by the Niners. If you want to say Cleveland's not a tough test, and again, they may not be, they don't play a good team until November. That's amazing.
Right.
Like that.
And
is,
I would say more so with ball. Like, it's one thing to be a schizo team, but I'd rather you be schizo a little bit more consistently. You know what I mean?
Well, then it's less schizo.
Right. Exactly. I'd rather you be a little bit less schizo. With Cleveland, I don't think they've proven that. Baltimore's a team where you could go, okay.
No, that's a real team, and the game's in Baltimore. That's a real game, but that's week nine.
So that's probably when you start to go and you here's a team. They might be a little bit of schizo, but they're not as bad. But here's when you start your run.
Yeah.
Baltimore, Philadelphia, Dallas, Houston, Kansas City.
Yeah, those are all real teams. Those are that you can't take anything away from them. If they go out and allow 10 points to one of those teams, you say, look at this defense.
Right in the Patriots' wheelhouse because it is November.
It's when they're heating up.
Do we think that and I've seen the same weather forecast Tom has seen. It's supposed to be awful tomorrow night down at Gillette. Does that help? They always say that helps the underdog. Not that much, though, right?
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, I guess, the game's uglier, but
it helps the
Giants aren't going to score a single point. And then I would think that, the defense is so good. I mean, they might even score
bad
a couple
weather
times.
Games usually help the defense.
Yeah. And you got
when
the best
raining,
one in the league.
The ball's slick, so it's harder to throw, it's harder to catch.
So should I take Mike Nugent out of my fantasy lineup? Is that what he's saying?
They worked out another kicker yesterday.
I know.
They've still got the kid on the practice squad. I don't think they were thrilled with what they saw last week.
They couldn't have been.
He pushes the first one to the corner.
First.
Doinks another
point.
One in off the upright.
Yikes.
Yeah, he didn't look very good.
He's not good. But are we thinking that it's going to be that bad tomorrow? He's going to be missing kicks left and right?
Well, if the weather's bad and he's already...
That makes me nervous.
He struggled in Washington when the weather was perfect.
It was pretty good conditions there. You know the Patriots also don't play a 1 o'clock game until week 15 now. They just had a run of them, obviously.
It's all nighttime or 4:25.
Ugh.
Yeah,
I like
that's the problem.
Though. I like that one.
Oh, I love Sunday at one. Now, when you were playing, I've heard a lot of guys say I like that Monday night game. Man, you were the only show on.
Yeah, night games are always the best. When you're the only show. It's the best thing. I mean, whether it's a Thursday night, a Sunday night, or a Monday night game, you're playing it. You know, not only is everybody and the world watching you, but all your peers are watching you.
Right.
So that's, night games are always the best.
Even against the Giants.
Even against the Giants. I wish they would bring the Color Rush back, though.
They go. So do I.
I love the Color Rush.
Giants, Jets in primetime back-to-back.
Imagine that.
Like, yikes.
Oof.
Two teams that are terrible. But most of the league's terrible. That's the other part of it, too, is when you say,
well, the Patriots haven't played anybody. It's like, well, look at anybody's schedule, and they might have had one tough game or one tough opponent. For the most part,
look at San Francisco. San Francisco played. Obviously last night the Browns.
They just played Cleveland, which you thought was
Cincinnati.
I think Tampa Bay was
Tampa Bay
and Pittsburgh
and
without
Pittsburgh.
Roethlisberger.
Right, and that's how you know 4-0,
and they're 4-0. But yeah, nobody.
But you can, and that's the thing, you can make. You can look at every team, and
you can.
With the Colts, we've seen the Colts go out there and struggle. I think they struggled against Tennessee, and they lost that game, or they won that game 14-13. And then they go and they beat Kansas City, and you see Kansas City struggle and almost lose to Detroit. So when you start to look at the league, especially the AFC, there's really not a team that you go, okay, they can challenge the Patriots.
No, you would think, again, you would think it would be the Chiefs, but then their defense is so bad, and then you saw they couldn't even score 20 against Kansas City. Now, it looks like they're going to get against Indy. Mm-hmm. It looks like they're going to get Tyreek Hill back this week, and
but
that's a big difference.
But prior to that, they struggled against Tampa, Detroit, even though they beat them.
No, but Tyreek Hill's been out. He got hurt week one.
Right, but I'm saying that their last three games, they lose to the Colts. They struggled.
They've had close games.
To beat Detroit, and they struggled to beat Baltimore.
Right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house. Remember, 2:30 today on OMF, they will talk with former Patriots tight end Benjamin Watson. Obviously, they'll find out, I'm guessing, that he'd like to continue to play. I'm curious whether he's still hanging around here.
I'd like to know what Bill said to him.
Is that what your question is, Wiggy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Bill left the door slightly ajar.
I heard that.
You know, who knows what'll happen. I mean, you know, one of those, he doesn't say anything without thinking it through ahead of time. Made me think that maybe.
Well, usually when you cut a guy, the coach likes to give some type of explanation because you as a player, you ask. I've been cut plenty of times and you go.
What's the why?
What's the reason? And maybe the coach goes, we feel like the other guys. I remember when I got cut here from New England, there's just not enough footballs to go around. And so we're giving you the opportunity to go somewhere else.
Hmm. Now, clearly, Tom thinks that if Ben Watson stepped on the field tomorrow night, he would be the best tight end the Patriots have. I agree with him.
Yeah, I believe...
I think he's better than both Lacoste and Izzo.
Yeah, my guess is, though, it's close.
Yeah, Tom probably believes that, but does Bill believe that? The guy who makes the decision. And I think Bill believes that it's probably close, and if Ben is a little bit better, it's by a fraction, and they'd rather keep the younger guys who that they know potentially are going to have for next year.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get connected with Rich Keefe on Twitter at Keefe21. Now back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Rich Keefe was calling him a top 10 wide receiver
but
in the NFL.
But that's Rich has a blind spot.
It's
right?
Rich. It's other people.
He's almost like Fourier. Fourier gets off top. It's like squirrel. He just gets off. Like when Rich Keefe sees a big shiny wide receiver,
he gets like all juiced up and jacked up.
He thinks that Chad Jackson is going to be the next Randy Moss. But I think a lot of Patriot fans forget Keefe. I think they saw Josh Gordon and thought maybe not top 10 the way Keefe projected, but I think as a top flight wide receiver based on his years past, that's not a crazy expectation of the player.
I don't know. I think they're taking shots. Everybody's taking shots at you lately. What is going on here?
Mutt needs to find a better example because we worked together back when Chad Jackson was drafted by the Patriots.
And you didn't like him at all?
No, I loved him.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
But that was 13 years ago.
It was a while ago.
Every time he brings up that I like receivers, which is true, he always points out Chad Jackson.
Right.
What about the good ones that I also liked? I liked Antonio Brown. Remember him when he was here? I liked Antonio Brown a lot. I have no problem. I don't remember if I said Josh Gordon top 10. I do like Josh Gordon. Mm-hmm. That seems like a stretch.
He seems to have slipped, though, hasn't he?
Oh, 100%.
Whether it's physical.
Yes. Yes, he has. There's no separation when he's running routes.
No.
He doesn't seem like he has a top gear anymore. He's still obviously big. right? He's still
big and physical.
He has a physical mismatch against every corner in the league, and he can still catch the slants, and he can still run, you know, a go, but he's probably going to get caught. Like, if he catches it, it's going to be, like, in traffic. Maybe they can develop him into a better kind of red zone goal line guy, but, yeah, he's definitely lost. I mean, Curran says he might be the 50th best receiver, which that might be right.
Yeah, he's a guy that when you look at is he's not going to – you're not going to see the explosive plays run after catch.
No, it's not there.
If you see the explosive play, it's going to be a deep ball that he, you know, mosses somebody down the sidelines.
Right.
Or he makes a catch in traffic down the middle of the field.
Right.
Catch and run. He might catch one of those crossing routes. Maybe
and
he gets
run out of gas.
Yeah, maybe he gets 15 yards.
I'm tired. That's what he did. Like, go ahead and run.
He's not taking that crossing route, making two guys miss and going 60 yards.
Nope.
All right. I undertook an intellectual exercise during the break here.
Oh, careful.
I was challenged by a texter about this because we've been talking about this Patriots defense and how good they are. And you know, everybody says the 85 Bears is the greatest defense that any of us remember anyway. And the texter says, yeah, take a look at the quarterbacks they played against. So I did.
You looked at the 85 Bears quarterbacks. Oh, here we go.
Okay.
So
let's hear some names.
Twice they played Steve DeBerg.
Steve DeBerg, nice quarterback.
And he was only 31. He wasn't 39 at the time.
I was not going to ask if he was how old he was.
He was 31
so
that
year.
Middle of his career,
Steve DeBerg.
Played him twice.
Steve DeBerg.
Yep. They played Tony Eason.
Tony Eason, a very good quarterback. That's a Super Bowl quarterback.
They played Tommy Kramer twice.
Tommy Kramer. Okay.
He was the Vikings quarterback that year.
I'll give you that one.
They played Joe Theismann, who was 36 years old in the last year of his career.
Theismann.
He wasn't quite the same guy anymore.
No.
They played Joe Montana.
Here we go.
Who was 29 years old, still in the middle of his Hall of Fame career.
And at that point, best quarterback in NFL history, right?
At that point.
Probably was. 85. He'd already won a few Super Bowls. Yeah. He was a stud.
They played Lynn Dickey twice.
Ooh, Lynn Dickey. Good arm.
Yeah.
They played,
great name.
They played Eric Hipple twice.
I don't remember Eric Hipple.
So when they played Dallas.
They played a lot of guys twice.
Well, because in the
division. Deeper divisions.
Yeah. So when they played Dallas, they ended up playing two quarterbacks.
Okay.
They played Gary Hogaboom and Danny White.
Mm. Hogaboom.
Danny White. It was a good one.
Nice college quarterback, too.
Then
right?
They played against David Archer of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. I don't know him that well.
Dan Marino.
Montana.
By the way, that was their loss that year. Dan Marino beat them that year and was playing great. He scored 38 points against them.
And that was Marino had took the Dolphins to the Super Bowl the year before, I believe.
His rookie year.
Yeah. And then so that was early Dan Marino. But still, Marino and Montana.
Then they played Mike Pagel.
Mike Pagel?
Indianapolis Colts.
Mike Pagel?
And Ken O'Brien.
Kenny O'Brien.
Pesky New York football
Jets. He was
a high
draft pick, wasn't he?
I would say that they played, now it's early, you're only five games in. They played a lot better quarterbacks than you've played so far.
Yes. But the Patriots, based off of the schedule, so you have Montana and Marino.
Yes.
That is hard to compete with, fair to say, right?
Well,
you're not going to face anybody like that. You got Mahomes.
But see, the problem is you're thinking of Montana and Marino after we've seen what they've done and through their NFL career.
No, but they were both great in 85.
Well,
the 85 version of both, like their Madden ratings.
Steve DeBerg was pretty good,
too. And DeBerg was good.
They would have been. I already looked at Steve DeBerg only threw for 2,400 yards that season.
Yeah, but I wouldn't look at the stats for that because everybody threw for worse stuff then than they do now.
But that means the league was different back then. They didn't throw the ball as much.
Got to beat the crap out of receivers, too.
Right.
But how are we playing this game? Are we playing the game where you can beat the crap out of receivers, or are we playing the game where
we're just trying to make a comparison, who the Patriots have played, and their defense is playing at a historical level right now. We think the Bears, 85 Bears, was the best defense any of us have ever seen. They played better quarterbacks than you've played. Now, these quarterbacks have it much easier than those quarterbacks had it back then. It was much harder to play the position back then. It was much harder to play wide receiver back then.
But I'm just looking it up. Steve DeBerg never made a Pro Bowl. Not that he wasn't a bad quarterback. I'm just saying he never made a Pro Bowl. So it's really Montana.
And Marino. So you're going to play Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. Carson Wentz.
Would you put Carson Wentz in that stud
category?
He's not in that category yet.
But he was on his way to winning an MVP.
Okay.
You're going to face Deshaun Watson, who's good. like he's going to be a Pro Bowler, right?
Dak Prescott. I would say that the guys that you're going to face are better than the guys that they faced in 85.
What you would also have to do, and this is a larger experiment, is you'd have to take those guys and see where they ranked quarterback rating for that season. Because, again, the 100 quarterback rating now is really like an 80 then. Like 5,000 yards passing now is like 3,000 then. So, the numbers Marino, are wrong, where they rank.
Marino in 85, because I got Marino right in front of me. Quarterback rating, 84.1.
Yeah, but I'm saying like that was probably good. Like
he threw for 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 21 interceptions.
I just told you don't look at the stats. The stats don't make
any
sense.
But you said look at the quarterback rating.
Yeah, but compared to not the number, where they rank within there. I could care less if it was 50.
Shime, can you help us?
So the 85 Bears, the QBs that faced the Bears when they faced the Bears were 51.2 rating. Those QBs over the rest of the year, a 74.8.
Oh, that's a good number.
So far, the Patriots that have faced the quarterbacks that have faced the Patriots have a 44 rating.
Okay.
The rest of the season that they've played, they were 64.1.
Got it. Okay. That's a lot of numbers, but I get the point. No, but my thought would be who are the best quarterbacks? Like if we were doing talk radio in 85, would we have been saying, "Oh my god, look at they're playing Hogaboom." Like is Hogaboom the
Lynn Dickey?
Is Lynn Dickey the Luke Falk of that year,
Tony Eason.
More middle of the pack, or is he more like, oh, you're facing Lamar Jackson, or you're facing whoever?
I would bet if you were to do talk radio at that time, Marino and Montana would probably be a Patrick Mahomes comparison. Marino would definitely 100%. Would be a Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
I don't know who would really be your Montana comparison. I don't know if there might be a guy that you could compare now. At that time.
Yeah.
But I think the rest of those guys that we talked about, I would say Deshaun Watson would have been better than a Lynn Dickey and
Gary Hogaboom.
I think so. And I guess I'm not entirely sure.
Carson with Dak Prescott. Who else are they going to face? Who else are the Pats going to face this year?
I mean, I thought Baker Mayfield was going to be good, but he's actually one of the worst.
Chimes boy Lamar Jackson.
You are going to face Lamar Jackson. You got a lot of
MVP candidate, according to the lads over there.
There was some MVP chatter for him. That is true.
There continues to be.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
I'm saying his chances are probably slipping a little bit, but that's just me. Now, we should point out they faced, obviously, Joe Theismann, Hall of Fame quarterback, but he was at the end. He was 36 years old.
I got some stats.
How many times they threw the ball back then.
I got stats.
All right, let's hear
your stats. All right, these
stats
are the leader in quarterback rating in that year in the NFL was Ken O'Brien.
Who they faced.
Yep.
Followed by Boomer Esiason, who they did not. Joe Montana was who they faced. Dan Fouts, they did not. Dan Marino, they did. So they faced three of the five best quarterbacks for that individual season. Bill Kenny was high on that list. They didn't face him.
No.
Jim McMahon was obviously their guy. Danny White was ninth. They faced him.
Now, they split the game. Hogaboom and White split the game. But yes.
All right. Neil Lomax, I just wanted to say his name. They didn't face him. They did face Eric Hippel.
They faced him twice.
Who was 14th in the league. Steve DeBerg, they faced twice, was 15th. Lynn Dickey.
They faced.
Was 16th.
They faced him twice.
Yeah.
But don't you think it was easier to get a better quarterback rating back then? Because you're at the...
No, it's much easier to get a better quarterback rating now.
Yeah, the quarterback ratings are much higher now.
Well, the ratings. What are the quarterback ratings based on?
Like a whole formula of stuff, like completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, interceptions, the whole, it's like
I guess the reason why I'm saying it is because back then, if you would have went, let's say, 10 for 13.
No.
Didn't throw as much, you didn't have as many
attempts. But the completion percentages they're so much higher now because of the way they run offenses.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Ken O'Brien had the best quarterback rating in 1985. He wouldn't have been top 10 in 2018.
Okay.
Right, like everybody, like now.
But based on what you just read,
they faced some good quarterbacks.
They faced better quarterbacks than the Patriots. The total group.
Yes, they did.
They faced better quarterbacks than the Patriots will face.
Because look how many of those games were against guys in the top half of the league.
Now it's much easier to play quarterback now.
It is. And to the Patriots' defensive credit, when you're talking about points per game, if you want to get into points per game, it's more impressive now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's much more impressive.
Everything is
now.
Built towards the offense.
With the pass interference, with the roughing the passer, everything. It's much more impressive. If they can maintain that type of pace, I would even say if it was 5, 6, 7 more points it would still be more impressive for a defense to limit teams now.
What else you got coming up next? Remember, Ben Watson, former Patriots tight end, will join OMF at 2:30 today. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Wiggy?
All right, well, Snoop Dogg, he did his performance in at Kansas. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Had a little strip.
It's a little racy.
Yeah, a little. Well, you know what?
For the college crowd.
That's what they were saying. But here's what Snoop Dogg's response was. He was on Howard Stern and was asked a few things about it. He said, the audience enjoyed that bleep, Snoop said. I don't know what the bleep they're talking about.
Okay, good.
and then he was also asked about his performance and if he was asked to leave. And he said, that's a mother bleeping lie. I had the time of my life. I enjoyed myself. I hung out with the basketball team and basically said at the end of it, when you pay for Snoop Dogg,
yeah,
you going to get Snoop Dogg.
There you go. Makes sense.
What else you got?
Rich?
Well, with all the stuff that's going on in the NBA with China, and they've all basically been told not to talk about it at all.
And watch it.
Terrified
of it. There's a
real
chance there's not going to be a game tomorrow, which there's supposed to be.
Yeah. And so Adam Silver did kind of speak up and did defend, you know, Daryl Morey, which I thought was good to see.
He put a lot of money at risk.
Probably not getting that money back. There was even videos today of people in China removing the NBA posters and all the billboards and all of that stuff. But when you think of getting somebody involved for, you know, these international incidents, you probably want Dennis Rodman, right?
Well, that's
Dennis
where Rodman I'd had that, where I'd
he
go.
Had that relationship yes. with North Korea.
We heard him speak about Antonio Brown, so he knows
he
him,
did that as
he
well.
Knows his stuff.
So Dennis Rodman had a message today for the NBA commissioner Adam Silver.
Commissioner Adam Silver, I know a thing or two about diplomacy. Book me a ticket to Shanghai with you, Ambassador Rodman.
Ambassador Rodman. Okay. Book him a ticket. All you got to do is book him a ticket.
I know a thing or two about diplomacy.
Sure
what
does.
That means is the Korean dictator put me up in a lavish place and let me eat and drink all I wanted. So that was pretty diplomatic, wasn't it?
You're setting a basketball Hall of Famer over there. It's not a bad idea.
There are a lot of people out there, the political pundits would say the reason why Trump met with Kim Jong-un, sat down and they had a conversation, it was because of what Dennis Rodman. It all started that.
It all started on The Apprentice. Wasn't Rodman on The Apprentice?
Well, he was, but I'm saying it was all Dennis Rodman going to North Korea.
So, I mean, maybe send him to China.
Yeah,
that's a good plan. I bet he'd get this all straightened out. Book him a ticket. Yeah. I think he's just looking for a flight to China,
isn't he?
He's looking
for a vacation.
Probably, you know, and some free food.
Yeah. What else you got?
So, do you guys like the idea of giving yourself a nickname?
Can't do it.
No.
No, that's like rule number one of nicknames. You cannot give yourself a nickname.
Well,
that's not how it works.
Then there's an issue, because apparently the Patriots linebackers have given themselves a nickname.
Mm.
They weren't called the Boogeymen by people like you or me or Wiggy.
No.
They kind of gave it to themselves.
No,
in fact,
I don't like that.
In fact, I've seen where Kyle Van Noy is asking for graphic artists to come up with some ideas
in the t-shirt
for t-shirts.
Like now that I think about it, you can't give yourself.
No, you can't.
They're not nicknames. They're called AKAs.
They're nicknames.
Okay, that's different.
They're also known as.
No, you can't give yourself a nickname.
No, you can. It's big in the rap community.
Is it?
Yeah.
They just call themselves like, hey, call me this?
You just feel it. You know, it's
I
want to be.
Well, it's come up. I guess, well, maybe that's different. If you come up with your own stage name, that's sort of different.
No, your stage name is different.
But like a nickname, like, hey, guys, I want you all to call me Iceman now.
Oh, well,
like,
that's
based
fine.
On what?
Do I have to?
Yeah, because I want you to.
Oh, okay.
It's my nickname. Everybody calls me Iceman. Call me Iceman now.
Yeah, well, it's
that's
based
not
on
how it works.
Yeah, it is. You can give yourself, hey, yo, I want to be known as Wiggy the Wiggler. That's what I'm known right now. Wiggy the Wiggler's in the building. AKA, make that money, AKA, short term, long term.
AKA, Wiggy Wiggles.
AKA, Wiggy Wiggles.
AKA, Wigs Out.
AKA, Flip Them Burgers.
How many does he have?
You know what? You've talked me into it. If you're going to sell it like that, fine.
Dale, there's no limit in that.
Wiggy the Wiggler.
That we don't. They're not really called nicknames. They're called
Jay Wiggles,
AKA, also known as. I mean, you hear them do it all the time in rap music. So, Antonio Brown.
The Wiggler.
Tony Toe Tap.
So yesterday, down at Gillette Stadium.
Mr. Wiggler, I like that.
Mr. Wiggler.
Devin McCourty was asked about the nickname for the linebackers, and Mike Reese wanted to get McCourty's take on the nickname of the Boogeyman.
I'm going to continue to make fun of them for that. I don't know. Didn't you had a part of writing that article?
I wrote the article, but only I mean, you're a big part of the issue, man. Yeah, yeah. You're a huge part of the issue, so I blame you.
Not have a cool nickname like
No, we just play football, man. We got a lot of guys born in the 80s, man. We're not into all of that, you know. They do that stuff, social media. Kyle Van Noy started a contest today to see who comes up with the design and all of that. Like, man, we got older guys. We're going home watching our kids and stuff.
Devin McCourty.
Yeah, the ain't nobody got time
Sounds
for
like
that.
Sounds like a little hate, a little jealousy.
A
right
little
there.
Bit, a little mad. Now,
well, he's
I do
also
think
climbing all over poor Mikey Reese.
He is.
I AKA, mean, we just, need a word, man.
All right, we got it already.
I'm thinking about
we
it.
We need a word, man. I think that this team does deserve a nickname, though, because you have, like, the Legion of Boom.
Right.
You had the Steel Curtain. You had the New York Sack Exchange. There is a time. Mm-hmm. You got the Zim Reapers, at least for a minute there,
was
for the Vikings when they were good.
Stupid nickname.
They also, weren't they the Purple People Eater?
Yeah, oh, yeah, back
purple.
In the day.
That was
yeah.
back in the day. So there's some good ones.
Steel Curtain.
That's what I'm saying. They need one. You can't just call just the linebackers right. the boogeymen. Mm-hmm. They need to figure out a team nickname. They can't mm-hmm. give it to themselves. Mm-hmm. Somebody else has to come up with something.
Now, one of our, somebody who evidently has served our country says, Navy call signs are not self-given. You know, like in Top Gun, mm-hmm. you know, you don't get to give it to yourself.
No, yeah, right. You shouldn't.
You don't.
I
get
used
to, you
Iceman
don't get,
as an example.
You don't get
I
to
saying.
Give yourself wiggles.
Yeah, you
well,
do.
He, if you sell it though yeah. as strongly as he did,
when you're in the hip hop world,
the word, man, the wiggler,
you could come right. You're it's you have many aliases. It's just you know how you're feeling in that moment.
Yeah.
But I
think it, I like it a lot.
Yeah, see, it's yeah. how it's how you say it.
It is.
We need wigglers in the building. You got.
We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. Steve D'Ossi will join us. We'll talk to Peter King.
It's game day tomorrow.
It is game day tomorrow. Woo! All of a sudden, OMF is coming up next. Remember at 2:30, they'll talk with former Patriots tight end Ben Watson here on Sports Radio WEEI.